Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you. On another Sunday evening.
Always nice to be here. When people on Monday mornings ask how my weekend was, I always say, all my weekends are awesome.
Excellent.
Because we get to do so much cool stuff.
Yeah.
We get to do One in Messiah. We get to do
next
Bible
Friday.
Study groups. We
yep.
get to do church services.
Yep.
We get to
Saturday,
do radio
Sunday.
Show.
Yep.
Woo. I know most people would think that was pretty boring. But
are they surprised to know that you have a radio show?
Oh, yeah. They say, yeah. Oh, radio show?
Wow, that's amazing.
Yep. They say, can I be on it? I say, nope.
Oh, man.
Anyway. So.
All righty. What are we going to
so
talk
let's
about
take
today?
So I think all the listeners should take a break from the Clinton and Trump news.
Yeah.
And let's do some Bible study.
What's going on with it? I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, you haven't heard it. You know there's an election going on.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's kind of like the road to Emmaus.
Yeah, you know, there's...
What sort of things?
Yeah, I've been around for a lot of elections, but none of it have been like this one.
No, nothing even close to it.
Yeah, and I think we'll... Maybe sometime in the next... How many weeks are there? Like 3 weeks till the election?
Not too much.
Yeah, we're going to have to probably do...
In one way or another, it'll all be over soon.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, people are going to be glad when it's over. But anyway, we should probably do some kind of an election show, but it sounds like a pretty depressing prospect.
Well.
We did one in 2012. I remember we had fun doing it.
Yeah.
But this is a different, anyway. But let's go back to the book of Luke.
That's not a good place to start.
Yeah, not my new grandson, but St. Luke.
Oh, not his?
No, he hasn't written anything yet.
Oh, okay. Well,
he hasn't said anything. He's still on milk, you know, we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
We hope he's going to be advancing soon.
Some babble? Is he doing some babble?
Yeah, he babbles.
Oh, that's
but,
good. That's
he hasn't said anything profound yet. But remember, Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes, you have perfected praise.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And any baby who's babbling, you have to always think about that.
I mean, they can't sin. They're not old enough to sin.
Yeah. Yeah. They still have that Adam nature in them, though.
Yeah, that's true. They just can't justify their reasoning and their sinfulness yet.
And that poor kid has some of my DNA in him, too. Actually, probably quite a bit.
You better hope.
Anyway, so we've been talking about discipleship, and I've mentioned, we may have some new listeners.
We might.
So listen up, you.
You.
Both of the listeners last week said they enjoyed the show. But in all seriousness, though, the Lord's been really showing me that this is a time for serious discipleship. And I think, all kidding aside about the election, when you look around and see the state that the world is in,
mm-hmm.
it's not just this country, it's the whole world. Now, you know, a couple days ago, the UN decided that there was never a Jewish presence on the Temple Mount and that Israel has no business being there. And that's pretty shocking.
Isn't that interesting? Because in 1948, they voted to...
Yeah, because, you know, I think that King David and Solomon and all the prophets and Jesus would probably disagree with that.
So in a mere 68 years, they've come to a different conclusion.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe. Well, you know, the thing is... And I think we can get into politics and stuff very easily and get into the bait.
Yeah.
And the devil always wants to bait us into
the
argument.
Yes.
But what's at stake is the heart of man.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the heart of man is pure, then he can see light from darkness. He can see good from evil. He can see see the distinction.
Yeah.
But when the heart of mankind, man, woman,
mm-hmm.
When the heart of mankind is diluted or suppressed or asleep,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's hard for somebody to see light from darkness when they're walking in darkness.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they justify it as light.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into the whole debate of, well, it's you know, that's my reality. Well, just because you're doing something doesn't mean it's right.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you want to do something doesn't make it justifiable. The human mind works, obviously, that it'll justify anything it does
sure.
before the person does it.
Sure.
You know, and so when you have a society or a culture that is immersed in a lot of darkness, a lot of, you know, bad behavior, deviant mm-hmm. behavior, we're not going before the Lord and saying, God, I've sinned against you.
Mm-hmm.
Heal this land.
Yeah.
We're not repenting of our sins.
Yes.
We're not even blushing anymore.
Yes, exactly.
And so God is not going to force us to say, all right, on your knees now and beg for my mercy and forgiveness. He doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's freely given.
Mm-hmm.
But there will come a time when he comes back where we will bend and bow the knee
mm-hmm.
and we will experience his justice.
Mm-hmm.
There will not be mercy at that point. Yeah. There will be justice.
And we and our listeners, you know, we'll bow our knee willingly.
Yeah.
And acknowledge him as Lord willingly.
Yeah.
But people who don't want to bow their knee are still going to bow their knee,
yep.
whether they want to bow their knee or not.
And they will acknowledge him as Lord unwillingly.
Yeah. Unwillingly. And
so,
yeah.
You know, that's the place where our culture, where our society really is, you know, there's greed in the heart of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
There's pride in the heart of mankind.
Yeah.
Every sin is a sin of pride.
Yes.
And unless I can go before the Lord humbly and ask him to search my heart. You know, we've talked on the show many times about how the Holy Spirit searches even the depths of God.
Yes.
Truth. I mean, truth searches or scrutinizes mm-hmm. the depths of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that is
pretty powerful.
It's hard, you know, it's hard for us probably even comprehend that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, the Holy Spirit scrutinizes the depths of even God.
Yes.
So, if that takes place, and I myself, as a creature, am not willing to be scrutinized by the Holy Spirit who scrutinizes even the depths of God,
mm-hmm.
what do I stand on?
Yeah, exactly. And this is kind of like what we've been talking about. I mean, are you going to be a true disciple? Are you going to deny him, deny the foundation that we stand on,
mm-hmm.
deny truth? I mean, are you not going to stand for moral truth mm-hmm. because it isn't popular?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we've been talking about this, and I was telling Steve before the show that I heard a very troubling thing a couple of days ago on the radio where, and we've all, well, hopefully many of you have heard about the Hillary emails because it's been overshadowed by all the Trump news.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these very critical things about the Catholic Church, about evangelical Christians, and that's what's written down. You can only imagine what they say to each other
right.
in private.
Right.
But, they had a story on the news where the Bishop of Denver, whose name escapes me now, was approached by four or five people from, the Clinton campaign that all identified themselves as being Catholic and they wanted to meet with the bishop. And what they basically did was they told the bishop what parts of Catholic moral teaching should be modified or, you know, outright changed in a more radical way in order to make it, you know, a little more popular now. Mm. And this bishop, thank God, followed his calling and followed his conscience and said, well, we don't change moral teaching because moral teaching doesn't change. So, I guess we don't have anything more to meet about. And so the guys left.
Yeah.
it's pretty interesting. This is the world we live in. So how long is it going to be until whatever government is in power, and it might be the next government, it's been partly this one,
mm-hmm.
is going to go to a church and say, well, you have to do same-sex marriage. Well, you have to support this.
Yeah.
Or else we're going to shut you down. You people are homophobic. You're anti-everything we stand for.
Mm-hmm.
You're bigots. So you better come along with us on these things we got to do, or we're going to close this place down.
Yeah. And see, this is where most of the let's see, John Paul II went back to his native Poland in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure that's 37 years ago. So anybody under the age of 37, really under the age of 47,
yeah.
are you going to remember this?
No.
Are you going to remember what he encountered when he went back and what the people there encountered when he came and what they saw mm-hmm. when they went back home and watched the television to recount the events of the day?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar with it, you really need to research something called We Want God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's by, it was a Wall Street Journal reporter, Peggy Noonan,
mm-hmm.
who wrote an article about this. And there's a couple other people that have written about, when John Paul II went back to his native Poland in 1979. But essentially what happened is he wanted to go back on a pilgrimage, and the government there allowed him to come back because they were caught in the thicket of, if we don't allow him to come back, are we afraid of him? But if we do allow him to come back, what's going to happen? So they downplayed it. And when he was there, they had three outdoor masses that were widely attended by millions of people. And when they came back home to watch the events recounted on the news, well, nothing much was said about it.
Mm-hmm.
And after the third time, John Paul II didn't confront the government directly. He talked to the people about, what does God want?
Yeah.
And see, that's what in our culture today, we get all caught up into the political aspect of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing to do with Scripture and what God's plan is.
Yes.
And in fact, what it really does is it takes us off the message and the mission of the church, and that is to share that there's good news, there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. But what happened in Poland is that as he was at this last outdoor mass on Blown Field, he called down the Holy Spirit on the continent of Europe.
Yes.
On the people of Poland.
Yes.
And he said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What does God want from us? What does God desire of us in this time? And that's what we need in our country right now. What does God desire of us at this time?
Yeah.
What does he want from us? But when they went back home after that mass, after that outdoor mass, and they chanted, we want God, we want God, we want God.
Mm-hmm.
And that just reverberated. I mean, we had 1.3 million people that came to downtown Cleveland to celebrate a victory.
Right.
Of a game.
Yeah.
They had more than 2 million people in that outdoor mass that chanted, we want God.
Yeah.
Now that is a calling.
Yes, exactly.
And what happened was they went back home, watched their television, and didn't see any of it.
Yeah.
And at that moment, they knew that they were being lied to.
Yeah. And that's coming.
It's already been here.
Yeah.
Because we don't get fed the truth. We get fed a diet of what people want us to believe and see.
Yeah.
So, and a short time later, we all know that the Berlin Wall fell.
Yes.
And, we can tell stories like Irene Friedman, who was in Ukraine when this light came in and this freedom came.
Yeah. Adil Sapir. Uzbekistan.
That's what's at stake now.
Yes. And we always have to keep in mind, we always talk about the remnant. Mm-hmm. God always has a remnant. The Lord tells Paul, I have people in the city.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
Yeah.
He tells Elijah, you're not the only mm-hmm. one. So take a deep breath and pull yourself together.
Yeah.
Because you're not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And, a remnant, there may not be a lot, but there's always going to be a remnant.
Right.
And the remnant are the people that are serious disciples, are standing on the rock, aren't going to give in to the people that come and say, well, you know what? If you just change this a little bit and don't talk about that and change that a little bit and you don't really agree with this, do you? Because mm-hmm. that's kind of, you don't get influenced by that because we have a scripture. I don't want to say a book because it's, you know, a lot of books. We have a scripture. We have the Holy Bible, and we have 2,000 years of Christian tradition.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple thousand years of Jewish tradition. So mm-hmm. we have about 4,000 years of Judeo-Christian tradition,
right.
or 3,500 years, whatever it is, from starting, if we want to start with Abraham, which all has a consistent moral teaching.
Right.
And all has a consistent plan, as we always talk about, of salvation and, mm-hmm. and to now say, well, you know, that was true then, but isn't true now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, people are on shaky grounds, and the church is starting to go that way.
Shifting sand.
It's shifting sand, and the churches that cooperate are going to be okay. You know, it's kind of like the state churches in China. If you're registered with the government, that's okay. But if you want to have, you know, kind of a real church, then the government doesn't like that. But God always has a remnant of people mm-hmm. to bear witness. There's
yeah.
always people bearing witness to the truth. And he's not going to let a time where there's not a single person on earth that
right.
isn't bearing witness to the truth.
Exactly.
And in some of the stuff we read last week that we talked about and we're going to talk about today, because I got some notes and stuff. you know, Jesus says, if you deny me, then I'm going to deny you.
Yeah.
You know, are you only going to be with him when you're in church or when you're surrounded by people who think like you? But then when you walk out the door, you say, oh, no. You know, I don't want these people to get upset with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people at work to get upset with me. I don't want the neighbor to think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
So, oh, no, you know, I don't really believe all this stuff, but I go to church, you know, once in a while.
Yeah.
And that's not serious discipleship.
No.
So when you confront, when you're confronted with something that you know, based on scripture and based on the Judeo-Christian morality, that it is wrong,
mm-hmm.
you have to stand up and say that.
Yeah.
When you're confronted with various other plans of salvation, let's say,
mm-hmm.
you have to stand up and say, no, that's not right. There's one name under heaven by which men must be saved.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one way. It's only
right.
one door. And, you know, last week we talked about that because of these people that, you know, want to follow, but they have sort of, you know, side agendas too. So Jesus says, hey, you know, if you don't calculate the cost, like we talked about the tower and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the army marching and, you know, you
right.
don't realize what the cost is, it isn't going to be an easy ride because you have to take your cross up every day and follow him.
Exactly.
And that is a very sobering idea that you're not just going to find disagreement, you're going to find suffering involved in this.
Exactly.
And we're getting to that point now in the world, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, but we're already to a break.
Yeah, we are.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid?
The best. listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That was an awesome song.
That fit right into what we were just talking about.
Yeah. That was not pre-planned either.
Yeah, see, that's why Steve's the music minister. Oh, it wasn't pre-planned?
No.
Yeah, forget about that.
Well, I gave the music before. I didn't know that we were going to talk about all that.
That's why he's the music minister. No, you thought I was going to do my notes.
I did. I thought you were going to get right into your notes and see if God had other plans.
So during the little break there, along with listening to Paul Wilbur, we were talking about two different places. Why don't you go ahead with what you were just mentioning?
Well, there's two things that come to mind, and the first one is from Luke 7. It's also in the book of Matthew, but when Jesus tells the crowds, what did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then, well, let me go back here. When the messengers of John had left, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John, mm-hmm. and he asked them, what did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine garments? Those who dress luxuriously and live sumptuously are found in royal places. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom Scripture says, behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. I mean, Jesus is telling the people, did you go to see a reed swayed by the wind? I mean, think about a reed, how it could be swayed mm-hmm. and really bent over by the wind.
Yeah.
You know, did you go to see somebody dressed in fine garments? Well, those mm-hmm. people, they live in royal palaces, so mm-hmm. you didn't come out to see that. Mm-hmm. What did you come out to hear?
Yeah.
John was speaking truth.
Yes.
And the other one is, you know, the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, where he says, hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on the rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. Mm-hmm. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. Mm-hmm. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 130 or 60-fold yield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in our world today, there's many people that hear the word, but because of the busyness of our culture mm-hmm. and our phones and all of our communication mm-hmm. devices, you know, we're busy, 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 busy. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, I got to check that. Oh yeah, what was that word the guy gave me? I can't remember. I don't have time for that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear this constantly.
Sure.
I'm just too busy for all that. You know, one, it's the condition of the heart. Is my heart good and fertile soil? Is my heart, you know, rocky with unforgiveness or bitterness? Mm-hmm. Is it just my heart is cold and I can't love? It's all those things. And when the word of God falls upon the heart, what happens? So in our culture, when we get desensitized to things,
yeah.
our heart becomes desensitized. And you know, God made the heart for a specific reason. One is, you know, pump blood through our system. But the other part is that we have empathy.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, that we can allow God to form us and mold us and prune us. And mm-hmm. that we're going to bear that 30, 60, or 100-fold mm-hmm. yield for the kingdom
yeah.
and not worry about a reed swayed by the wind.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know.
John the Baptist is one of my favorite characters, as we've talked about many times. I mean, he was one wild-looking dude.
Do we have any locusts and honey here in the studio? I'm kind of hungry.
That's what I had for lunch. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about getting burgers and fries, but I thought, nah, I'm going to stick with the locusts and honey.
Maybe he had cicadas. Maybe he had some of those.
But, you know, it's he wasn't swayed.
No.
And he preached the truth in a firm way. The axe is already laid to the root of the tree. You brood of vipers, you know, who told you to come here to escape the, you know, that's pretty hard stuff. And, you know, we don't do that anymore because now we want to be nice to everybody. But interestingly, in that parable, just to follow up about one thing, the sower is the same and the seed is the same. Yeah. What's different is the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, as most of you know that have done any ministry of any kind, when you're talking to a group of people, whether you're teaching, preaching, doing some mission, some whatever it is, you see these different types of ground. Mm-hmm. You see people who aren't affected at all by what you're saying. You see people that are kind of interested, but just for a short time. Mm-hmm. You see people that are really interested. They get really excited. And then, you know, the cares of the world, the lure of riches, the I got to get back to work. I got to go deal with this now. And the thorns grow up and choke the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the people that accept it. They start to flourish. They start to thrive. And they start to follow because now the seed has grown.
Right.
It's the same seed from the same sower, but, you know, four different responses, four different kinds of people. And the interesting thing is that the people who hear it and turn away and say, I don't know what that is, I don't know what that guy's talking about, look at the people like the fourth group where they're flourishing and following and doing.
Mm-hmm.
And says, man, you know, they're doing all that stuff and look at him.
Yeah.
His house is a mess. He drives this broken down old car and he wears old clothes and
mm-hmm.
he seems like he's a pretty miserable dude compared to me.
Yeah.
I got this really cool stuff because they're thinking in those terms.
Right.
And the people that get choked up by the worldly cares, you know, once in a while, they look back at when the plant was starting to grow, and I say, you know, that was kind of nice, but boy, I wish I had more time for that now, but I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little bit of a, you know, anxiety about it that part of them would like to go back to it, but they can't quite do it. Hmm. And this is the same thing with discipleship.
Well, yeah.
Because if the birds come and eat the seed or people walk on the path and the seed never grows, those people could care less about being a disciple.
Well, I mean, you can't get to serious discipleship without this.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this parable is the foundation of it because if the word of God falls upon your heart and it is stolen away, it can never bear any fruit.
That's right. And we've gone, you know, we started weeks ago talking about the foundation of these things from Psalm 118 and some other places where when you understand the basis of it, you want to be a serious disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the alternative? I mean, the alternative is somebody who says, well, you know, I think when you're dead, you're dead. You're 6 feet under and that's the end of you. Mm-hmm. You have a whole different outlook on life compared to somebody who says, wow, you know, I was down in the miry clay and I was slopping around with the pigs in the pit.
Yeah.
And then I met Jesus and he took me out of the pit. Yeah. And he says, if I follow him, I'm going to be with him in heaven. And that's what I want to do.
Exactly.
I don't want to go back and live with the pigs and slop around in the miry clay and all that other stuff.
Exactly.
I want to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And following, you know, last week we talked about the cost of it. You know,
right.
You hate your father and your mother. And we talked about hyperbolic speech, which is a big part of Hebrew literature. He doesn't want you to hate your father and your mother, obviously.
Right.
He doesn't want you to hate your wife and your children. He doesn't want you to hate, you know, all these other people he mentions. But he wants you to understand that when you're a serious discipleship, number one, those things come second. Number two is those things may be affected. You know, your children may say, man, you know, what are you doing all this stuff for? That's kind of crazy, don't you think?
Yeah.
Or even your spouse might say, you know, you're really getting carried away with this now.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't care when you went to church on Sunday for 57 minutes, but now you're kind of getting carried away with this.
Yeah.
And you're going to meet obstacles. Your parents may say, you know, what are you doing all that stuff for?
Well, you meet the obstacle with the people that are closest to you.
Exactly.
And this is, I think this is what, is the hardest part of it because the people that you know and love and care for are the very people that will say, why are you doing all that?
Yeah.
Have you lost your mind?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Why are you going to the church on Tuesday night?
Yeah, exactly. But who is, you know, the thing is, the reality is who is going to be used as a stumbling block? The guy down the street that you don't know?
No,
because you're not going to encounter him.
That's right.
You know, a lot of times, every one of us is, as followers of Jesus Christ can be used to be a stumbling block if we're not careful.
Yeah.
And we have to be, you know, all of Paul's letters, excuse me, all of Paul's letters to the churches deal with various degrees of growing and maturing as a disciple of Jesus Christ, of being an ambassador for him.
Yeah.
And he continually goes back to, look, I told you guys the truth. I come back. Who duped you into thinking something differently?
Mm-hmm.
You
foolish
had the
Galatians.
Truth. Yeah, you foolish Galatians. Well, those poor Galatians.
Yeah.
Oh, they deserved it. Anyway. Brood of vipers. But, you know, it's Paul talks about this continuously because it's so important for us to grow and mature as healthy believers in Jesus Christ, not immature babies.
Right.
And there are far too many people who act immature, who think they're, who say, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, but they really don't understand what Jesus Christ said or did or did.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to believe their own set of ideology and their own milk theology.
These are people that are still on milk.
Yeah.
Or what's worse is the people that want the fast food Christianity.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's why Paul in the in the letter to the Galatians talks about pride, anger, greed, lust, gluttony, laziness, envy, and sloth. Those, you know, the works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Everything begins with pride. And he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Yeah.
You know, all those things start with love, and they build upon each other. But when there is division in the body and there's scorn, you know, the person that's scorning or mocking or scoffing at the word of God, they usually don't have deep roots.
Right.
They're concerned with other things. They may say, oh, I believe. No, if you really believed, you wouldn't be acting in the manner that you are because you're acting immature.
Yeah.
And Paul
most of us have been in that position at one
point. And Paul addresses this to all the communities over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. And this is pride, you know, you mentioned pride. Pride is the biggest factor.
Yeah.
I mean, most sins are based on pride.
Exactly.
And right down to when there's conflict and you say to yourself, you know, well, who does he think he is? Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for 5 years.
Yeah.
He started last week and now he's trying to tell me what to do. Or I've been at this job for 22 years. He's been here for a month and he's got an idea about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the one who does this. This is the way we do things here.
Yeah.
And I'm way more advanced than he is. I mean, it's work related. It's ministry related. It's in everything. You can't help it because it's part of Adam's nature that we have.
Yeah.
And Jesus tries to address that because he talks about you have to deny these things. You have to deny yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If the issue is if you're going to follow him, you don't know exactly whether you're going to end up in a prison camp or you might end up in, who knows, you know, you might end up in Mongolia at some little church.
Yeah.
You might end up in, who knows, you know, in the middle of a jungle somewhere.
Yeah,
because if you follow and you accept, you know, if you do the Hineni, here I am, you don't know where you're going to go. And so you have to, you when you get in that position, though, you understand that there's going to be a cost and that if you're going to fully commit, it's going to affect your family relationships. It's going to affect your monetary situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to affect, you know, your retirement plan. It's going to affect, you know, whatever job you have now because you, you know, either you rely on him to provide for you while you do the discipleship, mm-hmm. or you hedge and say, well, you know, I'll do the stuff because I've got, you know, $300,000 here in the bank now, so
yeah.
I can do this for a while.
Now
so
it's safe for me to do this.
Yeah, that's right. I can do this for a few years and it'll be cool.
Yeah.
Or you can just say, hey, listen, you know, I'll do what you want me to do. I don't have any money. I don't have, you know, I got this, I got that, so mm-hmm. whatever you want me to do, I'm here yeah. to do it. And you'll be surprised how things will work out. Not only will he enable you and prepare you and, I don't know what other words to use.
Mold you.
But he's going to make the way for you
yeah.
so that it can be done, because all you have to do is be available.
Yeah.
But you have to deny yourself. And I just want to read a couple of things from Luke. Are you have a Luke there?
Let me see if I have a Luke.
Luke chapter 9.
Yeah, there is a Luke.
We did Luke chapter 9 last week, but I want to go down. Actually, that was Luke 14 we did last week. But in Luke 9, why don't you read 23 through 26? Because this kind of goes along with what we're saying.
23 to 26. Let's see. Then he said to all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself? Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of, when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father, and of the holy angels.
So, again, if you want to come, you have to deny yourself. If you want to come, you take up your cross every day. You don't take up a cross once in a while. You don't take up a cross, you know, maybe a couple of days a year. Mm-hmm. But you have to take up your cross every day, and you have to walk with it. You know, our friend Jim Murphy walked across the United States with a 6-foot wooden cross.
Yeah.
We're going to have him on the show pretty soon. He's going to come and do a show with us and maybe talk about that a little bit. But every day you're going to have some kind of tribulation. You're going to have some kind of conflict. You're going to have some kind of obstruction. You're going to have some kind of resistance that you're going to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. It isn't... You know, it isn't the Joel Osteen world. Oh, here I go again.
Oh.
It isn't the prosperity preacher world of, hey, you come to the Lord with $20. By next year, you'll have $500,000. Don't worry. That's not the scripture.
No.
Pick up your cross daily and follow me. And if you wanna save your life, you're gonna lose it.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, everybody's gonna lose their physical life.
Exactly.
But your spiritual life's going to certainly be lost.
Yeah.
And if your emphasis is on your physical stuff, that's going to be lost. It's Paul Lumber's back again. Anyway.
He's always cutting it.
He's always cutting it. Check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
King of the ages. Who will not fear you? Glorify your name. Behold the Lord. God is my salvation. In him I trust and will not be afraid. And I will give thanks and sing among
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That was an awesome song.
That is.
Paul Wilbur's the only one who's allowed to interrupt.
Where were all those people? Where'd they go? They were in the studio here, and all of a sudden they're gone.
All the banners are gone. What
happened? Yeah, but,
yeah, Paul's the only one who can interrupt us during the show.
That's true. He just starts singing, even when we're still talking.
That's kind of rude.
He doesn't wait.
And he did well during the recent hurricane that hit Jacksonville.
No, that's good.
Yeah, that was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah.
But he stood firm, said he wasn't leaving his house, and nothing really happened except some bushes and trees got damaged. But
well, that's good.
Compared to what could have happened, that's not bad.
Oh, yeah.
So in that passage that, it's like the first couple lines of my notes, actually, about, you have to deny yourself. In other words, pride can't get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Pride doesn't make for discipleship.
Right.
You know, pride, when some kind of disagreement or conflict starts, pride just promotes the disagreement.
Yeah.
Inflames it. Mm-hmm. Especially like both parties have pride. You know, it's not just one side has pride. If, you know, both parties have pride, inflames some disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus says you have to deny that. You know, if you deny yourself, you're not supposed to have pride.
Exactly.
When you realize who you are and what you are and where you stand, and more importantly, what he did for you, you really don't have all that much to be proud of.
That's
you know that much. Now, pride, you know, in the sense of if you work hard in school and you get an A in the test and you say, hey, I'm really proud I got an A, that's mm-hmm. fine. That's not pride.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay. So you kids that are listening, you know, it's okay if you get an A on the test and you say, hey, I got an A on the test. I'm really proud of that.
Well, you got to take pride. You have to take pride in what you're doing.
Right.
Enough. You have to be enough vested into what you're doing that you want to do good at it.
Right. And Paul says that whatever you do, it's doing it as unto the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing it for the Lord. So you should want to do it excellently.
Yeah. But so, if you're working only on your physical life, you're going to lose it.
That is
true.
You know,
if you're working for his sake, he says, you know, if you lose your life for my sake, now that could be physical life. You could be martyred.
Yeah, that's true.
We've seen a lot of examples of that. Just last night, I was looking on the internet at the ISIS crucified a 12-year-old Christian boy in Syria. I mean, that's been going on, and it's just so reprehensible. I mean, that boy is now in heaven, and but you know, we can't just look at it that way. We have to look at it as this is the world we live in, where he literally lost his life for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah,
you know, we may not lose our physical life, but denying him to preserve ourselves, whether it's our self-esteem, whether it's our job, whether it's our image, whatever it is, you know, you may have a certain image that when somebody says, well, aren't you a Christian? Don't you go to church? You say, well, you know, sometimes I go, but you know, Well, that's, you know, that's preserving your own life. So he says, you know, if what does it profit you? You can gain the whole world. But if you destroy your soul, what good does it do you? In other words, if somebody, you know, if some antichrist figure comes forward and becomes ruler of the whole world and has billions and trillions of dollars and controls the whole world, and then he goes to hell, he can walk around in hell saying, you know, at one time I controlled the whole world, but right now I'm pretty miserable.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it didn't really do me much good.
Exactly.
And we're not going to control the whole world, but you could control aspects of your own world where you control everything that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a powerful personality, you can structure things the way you like them, the way you want them.
Yeah.
You can think in your mind that you can independently determine what you're going to do with your life.
Right.
And then when you die and you're lost, you say, well, what good did it do you? So he's talking about this not only in the sense of you're going to control the whole world, which most people aren't going to do, but it implies it even in your world.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, how could this happen? I'm in control of this. So if something goes wrong, you say, hey, wait a minute, I'm in control of this. How could that happen?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can gain all that, and you can be destroyed.
As my, I've been taking vocal lessons to learn some. You have been too?
Mm-hmm.
I've gone back and taken some instruction to gain some additional knowledge. And as my vocal coach likes to say, she goes, we're all control freaks.
Yeah.
And it's like, because you want to be able to do things, but you have to let go of some things in order to do some things better.
Mm.
And it's, you know, in the spiritual life, we do want to control things. We want to control.
Sure.
We want to kind of manipulate God into, okay, now if I can just get God over here and in this position, then I can get what I want here, and then this will work out and that'll work out. And we try and manipulate what we want God to do for us.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's never going to work.
Yeah, that's the concept of, you know, we make God in our own image.
He might go along with it. He might let you walk in that path for a little bit. But eventually, it's not going to produce any fruit. It's not going to go anywhere.
But that verse 25 is really what hit me about this, which I thought we should talk about it, but now we're almost done.
Next week,
whoever's ashamed of me and my words.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are ashamed of him now and his words,
mm-hmm.
including people in the churches.
Yeah.
Including the ministers and priests and deacons of the churches, where they don't want to get anybody riled up or ruffle any feathers, so to speak.
We don't want to upset anybody.
We don't want to upset anybody. And it says the Son of Man, you know, interesting, he calls himself the Son of Man many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
Many more times than he calls himself Son of God.
Right.
So, you know, Son of Man, he identifies with us at our level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Son of Man is going to be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. And you know, you're going to stand before the Father and his holy angels, and Jesus is going to say, that guy denied me.
Mm-hmm.
He was ashamed of me.
Yeah.
So then he's going to be ashamed of you. I can't believe the show's over. I got all kind of notes here. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as that you would allow the Holy Spirit to come into your heart, to follow the path that God has made for you, that your heart would become that good and fertile soil to follow the word of God and to bear fruit for his kingdom. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant name, a hand raised in praise that God himself.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.